Father in heaven, we bless thee, we thank you for this fine weather today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that which we have once again. Truly, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, Lord, afternoon by afternoon, and so will be night after night. All that we have needed, Father, you have provided. And we surely, Lord, are grateful, thankful. And so much, Father, you know our hearts. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Nothing, O Lord, that we possess in this life, all of our own doing. It's all the benefit of the Father in heavens above who have granted to us. So even this time, Father, a time set aside that we come together on this very first day of the week to remember the resurrection of the Lord, for he has conquered death and he has given us eternal life. And we come together, Lord, examining ourselves together to worship and to fellowship and to hearken to thy word. And we so very much, O Lord, appreciate you, Father, for all that which you have done. And surely, Lord, thou art worthy of praise. Bless thy holy name. We glorify thee. As we approach thy word this time now, Father, come break it down to it for us, Lord. Break it down as you broke the fishes and the bread by the Sea of Galilee when you sit with thy disciples, Lord Jesus, and fed them. So would you feed us in these days? We commit this time to you then in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. You may be seated then. Let us go straight to the where we left off last week. I asked the question, as we ended last week, what then is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, baptism? We said there has to be an outward evidence of sort, as you see it on the day of Pentecost. How does one know that he has the Holy Ghost baptism? And I said, the very simple thing is, to begin with, the Bible said that the Spirit of the living God witnessed with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 16. There are plenty of verses to turn to. I would like to project onto the screen, but I know that many of you will not we're learning to turn to your Bible, and so I prefer that you bring your Bible, you use the Bible, rather than have everything done for you. Just talking to the taxi driver in the car, and he talked about the big church down a certain place that we know of, where the pastor's wife is a singer. And he said, there's such a big church, and they're full of young people. And I said, they are there to be entertained. He said, yeah, it looks like it. It ain't for religion, in our experience with God, but for being entertained. So we are here not to be entertained. Judgment begins in the house of God. So that's the purpose. We are here to look at the Word of God, and we compare and judge ourselves according to the Word of God, whether we are in the Word. Amen? I'll make sure that so I have it recorded. And it shows it's recording. All right. Because we don't want to miss, because I couldn't see the light from here. There's no recording light like the old one. Romans 8, verse 16. Now the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I said this one thing for sure. And it's my own experience. And I believe that some of you here, maybe not of you, all of you, some of you may not think much about it or may not recall. But I remember the day when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus at age about 12 years old. I went out there and I confessed my sin. It was a real thing, because The gospel hit me real deep into my heart, and I realized I was a sinner, and I went up there to the pulpit and I cried my heart out, and you know what? Then the love of God just flooded my soul. And I realized it was a real thing, it was a real experience. I felt the presence of God, I felt the love of God. And I was a changed man. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't have a coven like a fire upon my head. Or anything like that. You know, here is Barabbas' example, which wasn't very good when I was reading one of his code. He says, you see, a mother knows if a baby is alive by his cry. But the baby may not be able to tell you that he is alive. Well, that wasn't a good example because it is not the child experience. It is the mother knowing the child is alive because of the child cry. So if we have the Holy Spirit, God knows that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't know whether we have the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So now, we look into another thing. A baby, assuming that a baby is taken away, a young toddler is taken away from his mother, and then is raised up by someone else. What happened when both mother and son meet together some 20 years later? You know, there have been a lot of those that have been adopted or given away, and the boy or the girl in their, now maybe they are in the adult state, the man and the woman, looking for their natural born mother. And they search and they search, and finally they met up. How would the son react after having gone from, you know, not being in contact with the mother for 20 years? How would he know that the woman is his mother? What initial evidence, if any, is there? Is that not a kinship spirit between the both of them? Is there not a kinship and a blood link? Is there not something that within them that they cannot testify that they are? That the man could say that this is my mother. All I have to do is to watch the reaction of mother. It is said that a mother, when you put a baby, a newborn baby, you know, and the mother take care of the child for a couple of weeks, and then you will put this baby in the room with other babies. It is said that the mother will recognize the cry of the baby. You know. And one of the baby cries, the mother will know whether that baby is hers. And so this is the reaction between a man towards whether the woman is his mother. Another great example I would say is like a man undergoing a major surgery and then go under general anesthesia. And now when he goes under anesthesia, he's dead. His senses are all gone. He doesn't know. He doesn't feel a thing. You can cut him, you can slap him, you can whatever to him. He's lying on the table, he won't feel a thing. The question now is, how does he know that he is okay and that he is alive when the general anesthesia wears out? How does he know? The senses comes back. There is something that can make him know that he is okay, he's alive. So the same thing, that there is a weakness within our spirit, which the Heavenly Father above give it to us by His Spirit, that we know we are His child. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appear. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Watch verse 3-5. He says that according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, He has to
work in us. He has to testify to us. He has to witness to us right inside whether we belong to Him. And He has therefore to be real. Isn't it? You know what it says when a man and a girl, a woman, young, you know, when they are in courtship and when they first meet together and they say, oh, sometimes you can see the man look at the girl for the first time, maybe in college or in the university, you know, just between Zoe and Clement, but that's all I heard. You know, and I believe some of you have the same experience. And you look at her and she look at you and said, that's the man, that's the woman for me. And you came together and true enough, you know. There is some sort of weakness, maybe it's the wing of an eye, you know, or a word that says, hello. Whatever, there is something. They just say that it's the man or that woman is for me. Because there is something that is working. There is some kind of a emotion, attachment that is being, you know, moved around, some kind of a spirit movement, some kind of a signal, some kind of whatever in the physical. But in the spiritual, it's the same. There must be something in God's will. If we have given our heart to Him according to the word, repent and be baptized. If we have surrendered ourselves to Him, and being dead in sin, we have surrendered ourselves to His will, then He must give you something to draw you, something to make you be aware that you are His son or His daughter. That's why I like chapter 8 of Romans verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Jesus Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Of course, you cannot help that without the hearing of the word. Alright? Without the preaching of the word. You need to hear it. So, faith cometh by hearing, remember? So, that Christ might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So you can never say that you are a child of God if you never hear the word of God preached. If you don't know the gospel to begin with, how can you ever be a child of God? That's why faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You need to know the gospel. That He might present Himself glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, God is a, but we always, figuratively speaking, God being an eagle, He will always search out His own. He searches out His own. And when He does that, it is the beginning of reconciliation between the child and the father. If a father has a lost son somewhere, maybe he was taken during the Japanese time, you know, and he loved the son so much, he will hunt high and low, find out from every corner as possible, do all his best to look for the son. It might be 5, 10, 20, or 30 years down the road. And he may be an old man, maybe 80 years old. And his son may be in the 50s or 60s. When he found him, he will know him. And that's what God is all about. Giving us this eternal life, giving us this witness that we are His. So now the question is, what is life? What has life? John chapter 6 verse 63. What has life? It is the spirit that quickened. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. It's so plain and we hear it so often. It is the spirit that quickened, the flesh profited nothing. Don't say that you belong to a Catholic church. My mother was a Catholic, my father was a Catholic, or he is a Catholic. Maybe they are Catholics still alive. And therefore I am a Catholic, and therefore I am a child of God. Or your father may be a Pentecostal, mother be a Pentecostal. It doesn't mean that you are saved. Nothing to do with physical. The flesh profit you nothing, no, nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm a preacher. But it profit my son nothing. Just because he is my son. As far as eternal life is concerned, he must come the way of God too. Every one of us come the way of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what has life. It is the word. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, remember this, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak on himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, I said this before. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? What is the initial evidence of the Spirit? If there is such thing as the word initial evidence. Like, you know, these are all words that, you know, theologian put it out. The evidence of the Holy Spirit. Or the initial of having the Holy Spirit. The initial evidence. Okay, the initial evidence, obviously, is that the Holy Spirit witnessed that you are his child. When? 1 year, 10 years down the road, that he witnessed to you? If you have truly repent, truly, truly surrender to the Lord, you know the Lord will surely witness to you. It won't take you many days. Then the Holy Spirit that comes upon you will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's the purpose when the Holy Ghost was. It says right here. It's only the word that you receive. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got the word, you believe the word, you receive it, you repent, you be baptized, the Holy Spirit comes right into you, he witnesses to you that you are his child. What does he then do? He will guide you into all truth and show you things to come, because you are his children. Now, let's go on and see. Now, here's what Brother Branham said now. The quote in 65. And that word is God. And God was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, which that is the gate. That is the gate I meet you in to worship when you come and when you follow the commandments of God. Therefore, if you have tonight just come and said, I offer Jesus Christ my life, and you never received the Holy Ghost, come into it. You must do it. You must grow into it. Now, he said this. Ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full stature of a son of God or a daughter of God. You got it? Ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full stature of a son of God or the daughter of God. And that's why it is so important is what the Holy Spirit does, is to lead you into all truth. Right? He didn't just say, okay, you believe Malachi 4, 5 and 6, that's okay, that's finished. That's enough. You speak in tongues, oh, that's enough. No, he wants you, the Holy Spirit wants you to be led by him into all truth and show you things that is yet coming. That's what the Holy Ghost or Spirit is given for. So if you believe any otherwise, then I don't believe you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you jump and shout and if you do miracles or even walk on water. That don't mean nothing. Huh? Because they have seen that in the day of Jesus Christ. Summon a sorcerer can perform mighty miracles. But there are certain things he doesn't have. He couldn't do. So when the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit brings the word to the hearer. And then he creates a new birth. And then he baptized the person into the body of Christ. You believe the word. You repent. You baptize in water for the remission of your sin. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the family of God. You become a part of the family of God. And we all know this, that in God's foreknowledge, only those who are true seed, so to speak, those who are already foreknown of God, only such are the people that can come to receive the word and be quickened and be born again. Not everybody in this world would be saved. Jesus Christ said, I came to seek for the lordship of the house of Israel. He said, I come to call the sinners to repentance. He didn't come to look for the righteous. Self-righteous people are not sinners, you know. They're so self-righteous, you just cannot save them. So to speak, huh? Alright? So then the word abides in the believer, and then it's revealing its growth in from season to season. Alright? Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15 onwards. You know one thing, you have a soul and you have to draw. How do your soul survive, so to speak? What do your souls feed on? You all have a soul. What does it feed on? It feeds on the life of God. Because He is the only one that is original life. So you have to draw, the soul has to draw the life of the Spirit. But when you draw that life, how do you do it? Remember, the question that was asked, what has life? The word that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. For you to be a spiritual person and continually growing and live a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, you have to draw that spirit. And to draw that spirit, you have to pass through the word. There's no way that you can draw the spirit without the word. You remember this. That's why on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You cannot have real spiritual life, the life of God, if you don't have the word, because God is in His word. The spirit and the word, they are one. You know, this thing has been preached by Brother Branham oftentimes. And today people in the message, are they hearing it? No. Oh, I believe Malachi fire and I got baptized in Jesus. I believe the serpent seed and so on. And do you think they think that that's it? They think that that's it. Because the prophet said, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is to receive the word for the hour. What is the word for the hour? The word for the hour, even today. Today is also called the hour. Not yesterday is no longer called the hour. We move along with God because God is the I am. He always says, I am that I am. He never said, I was. No. What is past is past. God, move on. If you want to stay there 10 years back in history, go. That's gone. That's what the Pharisees have been doing. What the Sadducees have been doing. They were living in the past era of time. One thing has been accumulating the tradition and make the word of God no more effective. Do you see that? Is the word of God effective in your life? To be effective, the message is that God is light. In Him is no darkness. No tradition. God is the I am today. He's still very much alive because He's God. And you have to move along with Him. So you draw His Spirit. He'll draw the life of His Spirit by the Word, through the Word. And faith cometh by hearing. Revelation cometh by hearing. You got it? 2 Corinthians 3:15. But even unto these days when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. You see, that was in the days of Paul. Even in his day, he was talking about unto these days. The law of Moses was read. The book of Moses was read. The book of the prophets were read. And Paul said, even to this day, whenever it was read, the veil is still upon your heart. They see nothing. They know nothing. Even to this day, the message that was given back in the 50s by the prophet of God, back in the 60s, the Lord took him home in 65. They were read upon the pulpit. Court after court after court. But the veil is still over their heart. Because why? You know why? Because everything is a tradition. Even the denomination churches today, they go to church, it is opened up in this rent. But is there light coming out of it? Everything is veiled because of their tradition. Oh, don't wonder denominationalism is the strangest prison in the world. It keeps people, it holds people captive without bars. And they're spiritually dead. They go to church, yeah, they have formed godliness by denying the power of the Word of God. See? Nevertheless, when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When you turn to the Lord, you know, we can say, what do you mean by turning to the Lord? The denomination need to turn back to the Lord. But the thing that is turning back to the Lord, they can call upon the name of the Lord, they can pray and they can preach and everything in the name of the Lord. Jesus said in the last day, man shall come to me, Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name. I have big program in your name. I cast a devil in your name. I did many wonderful work in your name. Jesus said, I never knew you. Your workers in iniquity. Because why? They build organization. They further the cause of their own organization. You think about it, what is true. And it's very scary. When it comes to truth, you get a very small percentage of people that can say, yes, this is true, I'm going to stand on it. When you read the scriptures, when they read it, in those days, today when people read it, it's just the same. The veil is still upon your heart. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. What the Spirit of God, of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hey, we are not bound by tradition, you understand? There's liberty. We are the freedom. We're not governed by our secrets of dogmas. But today, of course, charismaticism, they say, we have liberty. Sure, here one person speak in town, there one person speak in town, that corner, here and there, and everywhere, and everything is in chaos. And today we have a lot of liberty in this entire message too. Entire message movement. What's going on? You see the many, every one of them come up their own opinion. Some are just staying at home. Is that what you call liberty in the spirit? To do as you like? The Bible says, don't let your liberty, the use of your liberty be the cause of a stumbling block to a brother or a sister. Verse 18. But we are with open face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. That's the purpose of it, huh? We look into the Word of God. Because the Spirit of God leads us. In order to draw the life, He must bring you to the Word. You draw the life of the Spirit, you look in the glass, you are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see that? That's why He leads you to all truth and show you things to come. That is nothing that is above the Word of God. As far as and as long as the church remains on this earth, as long as we are still in the journey, there's nothing that is above the Word. You understand? All this Word will be done away with only when we see the perfect comes. When we see Christ come face to face, that we don't need the Bible no more. Now, in the meantime, we have to look into it. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is an experience that moves on from one end to the other, from Alpha to Omega. You don't say, I got the Holy Ghost, right in off Alpha, and you never make it to the end, the Omega. You know what I'm saying? Like a child, take the first breath, cry, suck mom's milk. 5 days later, it's a dead baby. There are many Christians just like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now that have to be a ministry, huh? It's not anybody, every man for himself. That's not the thing about it. There's no such thing. We are all members of the body of Christ. There's no such thing as every man for himself. And that's the problem with many churches today. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what Paul's ministry is all about. The apostles' ministry is all about. Their duty is to declare the whole counsel of God, holding no punches back. Telling the truth that is to be told. Not to please man. We are not man pleaser. The apostles were not man pleaser. You know, if Paul was a man pleaser, you know what would happen to Peter? Think about it. They have to hold the line. Hand the word of God without deceitfulness. Telling the truth. Making sure that everywhere people that heard the truth have it. So that their conscience be clear. And my conscience is clear. You know, I have spoken to some believers, not only locally, but overseas. When they try to challenge me, I lay down a question or two. You know what? This temple, they just do not know how to answer, because why? Their conscience told them that they were guilty of doing a ministry deceitfully. You realize that? Just look them in the face and ask them one question. And when I will leave my eye out of his, and he will look away, he realized, these are the people, you know, because they were not sincere. Do you understand what it is all about, having the Holy Ghost? We are walking on a thin, tight line. Are today's anti-message minister really walking right in the ways of Paul's revelation? Do they really have the Holy Ghost baptism? Oh, he's a nice man. Nice pastor. Nice preacher. Very friendly. Very hospitable. Have you met a lot of nuns and monks and Buddhist priests that are very hospitable? Even Hindu. Very hospitable. That is not it. That's what Brother was telling you in those quotes that we have. It's not about love. It's not about gift. And that is not it. It's the Word. Because if you have the real Word of God, you have the life. You have the reality of it. Not something that is physical. Something that is a put on, an emotional thing. Yeah? There are many philanthropies in the world. We have a couple of good ones in Singapore. They give them millions of dollars. Gan Eng Seng is one of them. They build up a school. Huh? The Tong Che Medical Institution is also one he started. Free to the people. Now, wonderful person. There are a lot of them. A lot of bishop, Anglican, priest. Very nice. Very nice priest. That's why when a Catholic can I accept when you tell them the whole system is a sham. The whole system is hellish. They say, how can you speak down on my church? My priest is not a good man. Very holy. You know, this and that, full of love. You know, everything the devil can impersonate. Remember this. But there is one thing he cannot impersonate. He cannot ask you to live this life. He cannot ask you to receive this word. Do you know that? There's one thing the devil can't do. Because it's contrary to his faith. Because he's an adversary. He's the one that has to mess up the word of God. I've heard so often, many end-time believers said this, we don't need to know what Brother Branham did not preach. We don't have to know anything that Brother Branham did not preach. We don't need to know those things. Oh my. Some of them read my book on the Mark of Cain. When they read about the Holy City, New Jerusalem, They know there is things that God revealed, but they will say, Baba, did not preach this thing. It means it's not important for us. Then tell me what is important. What is important? What is important that he preached that is important? List it all out. Let me tell you what is important. There's only one thing that is important. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That is what keeps me going. That's what will keep you going. The revelation of Jesus Christ himself. If he received it from the Father, he give it to you, he expects you to walk in it. And the prophet of God in every generation do not have everything. Even Brother Abraham himself said so. And why people make him that he has everything and think that he never preached is not important. That show that there are things that he has not preached, that God did not give it to him. Because you know why? What Brother Abraham had was in the 65. I mean the 50s and the 60s. What if the world go down to 2100? Some of you may not be here, we will not be here. Think about it. And are the people still feeling on that in 50 and 60? When God is still moving? When God has reserved things? God has something reserved in every age. Paul's there, he doesn't know everything. People say Paul knows everything, you know. You think so? I have one. Somebody wrote me here in Singapore. You just think about it. Where does it come from? That Paul knows about the seven seals. He knows about the church ages. He knows about the thunders. How could it be? You know why people said that? Because Brother Abraham said, I preach all that Paul preached. That means that Paul knows everything because Brother Abraham knows everything. Because Brother Abraham preached the seal. He preached the church age. Therefore, Paul must have known those things. What kind of a presumptuous thing is going, what sort of presumptuous thinking going on in your mind? Why do I hold the line so tight, brother and sister? Because you know what? I will not fail to declare to you all the full counsel of God that God has shown me. I will tell you all that I've, and it's your responsibility that rests on your head. Brother Nanais wrote me an email, he said, well, you know, brother again, those people in Nigeria, those ministers that he knew, after he came back, I told them that he had met me. They were all very upset. Now that he had put his testimony on my website, many of them were even more upset. But some of them came to him and said, Brother Nice, I want you to tell everything that you know, or else our blood will be on your hand. And Brother Nice says, I want you to be careful, because some of these people are very tricky. He used the word. And that is true. I will not fail to declare all that I know. I will hold the line so tight and I have to. Many people will not like it. They think that I'm anti-Branham. That's how Brother Nice was experienced. People saying that he was anti-Branham. There was a website on the internet. I think it's WMB1. It was one that where the webmaster put on some forum and some article and ask people to come in. And one day I found my article was there on Branhamism and asked people to come in. A couple of people have read it. They grade it out of 5 star. How much you want to rate it? And you got a 5 star there. And then there was one man that came in, he's in a forum about one thread that says about people who are anti-Branham. So one fellow came in and then said, look upon this link. This man goes for everything. Then he put my link there. The way he said it means to say that this guy is not a believer. And so the webmaster came in and answered. He says, you misunderstood. The webmaster of this site, that is my site, is not anti-Branham. He is a believer of the message. But he said, he's not a Branhamite. That's what happened. Brother Chandula had a problem. That's a couple of weeks ago. Same thing happened. Somebody went over there, tried to disrupt, using my name, and then tell the people that Brother Gann is not a believer. He's preaching whatever it is, has contradicted so many others that they are that they said that he is an anti-Branham. He's not a believer. You know what? All I have to do is, why don't people just read what I wrote? Why they hear what this man said? Why they hear what the man said? You've got preachers coming and tell you all kinds of things. That Paul knows the seal. That Paul knows what the thunders are. You get some foolish Branhamite from America and Canada and all this, they come and they say all these things. You know what? Most of the people in this entire nation, in Singapore, anywhere, they are not students of the Bible. They were told to believe what Brother Branham said and believe it. Even if the sky is red, he said so. Even if he said it's red, it must be red. And people just believe. They would not check the scripture. Because I do, people say that I judge the prophet. Bible said, judge all things. Discern. Check it out. The duty is for you to do the same. You know? And the man who went over to Sri Lanka and caused that problem to Brother Chandula for a while, he was a Canadian. I have a lot of enemies in America, Canada, and Europe. And all that thing have been passed on to the third world, Africa, India, Philippines. You know. Wow. Why can't people look into the Word of God? We don't need to know what Brother Branham did not preach. Oh, yeah, that's what they think. We did not. What he did not preach is not important to us. That's what they said. We need only to stay with the message, to study the message. You know what? Anyone can claim the Holy Spirit just because he believed the message. But that is not true. Let us look. You know in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Let's now look at the case of Simon the sorcerer. Acts chapter 8, verse 20 to 24. Now the question is, was Simon the sorcerer saved? Acts 8. You remember, he was a Samaritan there. He was there in Samaria. He was a great magician. He has done a lot of, well, magic. Performed some crafts. They looked to him as a great man. Some great someone, some deity stuff. And he heard the word. He believed. Right? The Bible said that. Philip preached it to a group of Samaritans. They heard it, they believed. And Simon sorcerer was one of them. Wow! What a great a sorcerer! Turn to the Lord! Hallelujah! Now everybody do that, don't they? Get all excited. So the news went down to Jerusalem and sent, and so the Jerusalem elders sent the big guys with his Peter and John. And Peter had always been a witness in Jerusalem. Colinius, Jerusalem, Jews, Colinius' house, Gentile, and now he must witness for himself. A people that are half Jews and half Gentiles. The Samaritans. So he went. And you know what? He laid upon them, and some of the sorcerers saw that by the laying on of hand, something happened. And so he wanted to buy the gift. That when he laid on the person, they too could receive whatever he saw. And obviously to many, it is tongues. But anyway, just look at it. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast taught that the gift of God might may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lord in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Now this is Peter quoting from Isaiah. Then answered Simon and said, pray you the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. That's all that we see in the record here. The Bible didn't tell you nothing about that. It's a lot of things compressed right here. Was Simon the sorcerer saved? Huh? His heart wasn't right. Was he saved? Did he receive the Holy Ghost? Did he speak in tongues? The Bible didn't tell you that. It just left hanging there. People's mind will run to and fro trying to figure that out. One thing for sure, the Bible wants us to know. Don't jump to conclusion because somebody spoke in tongue, or somebody said he believed the word, somebody said he received the word, therefore he's a believer, that he has the Holy Ghost. Correct? The character of a person will show. You understand that? Even what Simon asked Peter, was that really genuine his request? Was he sincere? If the Bible would have record and tell me this, when Peter spoke that, and if the Bible tells me that Simon the sorcerer prostrate on the ground before the Lord and confess his sin, that would be a different story. It's easy to say, Peter, pastor, brothers, sister, pray for me that this thing will not come upon me, rather than for him to prostrate upon himself and repent. Oh, what about Demas? 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas forsook Saul, Paul, and he followed the pleasant world. We all know that. And what about Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19 and 20? Hymenaeus and Alexander, for a time they were members of the church, yet they had but a very bad profession. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And that is clear. Because afterward, what happened to them? They make shipwreck of their whole faith. Now, I have seen that in Singapore. Many believers in this end time message. What happened to them? They were shipwrecked. That is true. Some brothers used the word casualty. They were casualty on the mast. Let me tell you something. A believer, no matter where the ship is wrecking, whether we are in a storm and sails all torn, when the mast all broke down and the ship is turning here and there, ready to be shipwrecked onto the side of the big rock or something like that, you know what? A true believer will hold on. They will hold on! But we have many over the years back in 70s that I know them. They are no longer around. The many of them even speak ill of this message that was sent by the prophet because of the mast. In the first place, do they have the faith? In the second place, they can blame it on those that create the mast. Which is very true. Because you see, the devil, like a roaring lion, he will go about destroying, tearing up, and devouring anybody that he can. Whether they are believers or non-believers, they come together and say they believe, so that he will create fear among people. Think about it. I remember this, just that they never came to the Holy Spirit. But there is no evidence in their life. Now you claim that you have the Holy Ghost. I'm looking. I claim that I have the Holy Ghost. You are looking. Right? Sure. I said I have the Holy Ghost because I have the weakness of the Spirit. And I'm walking day by day. And that's a song where God gave it to me. Now's the time that I walk with Him closely. Day to day, now that He has set me free, right? Day to day. Remember this case that we have talked about. Of a man from Penang. I baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because he believed the message. But he was Baptist. Assistant pastor. But he loved charismaticism. He loved Calvin Kuhlman. So he was torn apart. Then he rejected the message. And then he loved the Baptist church, created his own great charismatic church in Penang. For some 10 years, I believe, it's grown up to be very big. Built nice big building, millions of dollars. Then claimed to have the power of discernment, like Brother Branham. Was arrogant and prideful. told the people, don't come near me because if the Lord show me your sin, I will expose it. Wow. By and by, he fornicated. Exposed. Took all the money, millions of dollars, and to Australia. The man committed three things that should not be done. And he committed all of it. You know that, don't you? Huh? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What the popularity? Woman and the money. He committed all of it. And he spoke in tongues and had this power. He preached in charismatic circle. Among Americans and Canadians in Australia. Who? You see what? And I told him, I said, before he fall, I told him, I said, if I want to be like you, I would have a bigger church than you have. I would be well known among the world than you have. But you know, I don't want to go that way. I'd rather live the life of Christ. I'd rather have a small fellowship and get the word out. Man grows up where there's big money, popular, that's where the disease comes in. What do we have? Someone that we, well, no mention the name. You know, in Singapore we have a lot of problems. Believers call themselves ministers and then they disappear and run over and migrate somewhere. Comes up, believer, insincere, a wolf in sheep's clothing, misleading people, and he is his own authority. And he will tell people to stay home, to listen to the tape of Brother Branham. Some of you know him. Some of you experience him. I have spent him too much. And you tell me not to call him? Sure, I wouldn't. But if you give him one more time, I will call him right to the face. Paul called Demas. Paul called Hymenus Alexander. Why? Because they said the resurrection is past, brother. Don't have to examine yourself. Don't worry about this. Maybe there's all kinds of things. That's what they are going on around the world. Brother Ben is the absolute. If we have one in Singapore that believe, they're all calling. Because this is such that destroy the faith. And I believe every one of you I believe you experienced. If you have friends who are Christians, maybe especially in their Pentecostal or the Presbyterian church, they are well known and charismatic. You tell them about Brother Branham, oh, you are a message believer. You know, automatically. Oh, you are that Branham's group. Huh? Why? You see, the whole thing is a mess. That's what Sister Wendy said. I'd rather be called Bible believer than a message believer. That's true. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a child of God. And recently, I went and gave a couple of books to Nepalese ministers. While I was waiting for him, here came a man, a believer from another group. They came to the hotel lobby, you know. He said, oh, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just giving some books to this Nepalese minister. And I show him because I'm carrying the plastic bag. I said, well, if he wants a couple of books, you can have it. He said, no, brother, yeah, we're all matured, you know. We're here, this church, that church, we're all matured. We're all matured believers, you know. We're all matured believers. Well, I don't think there's any maturity. Seems so. A lot of people proclaim themselves to be matured. And that's how dangerous that really is. You know what? You can give me a book, anybody's book. I will read it. I will always want to read anything. If I go to any convention, anyone, there are books on the table, they are free, I will take those books that I think that I've never seen before, I will take and read it. Because you see what? It's for my gain. If there's something that blasts me that I can use, I will have it. But if there's anything that contrary, I know this thing has been going on. You'll show it. Isn't that right? Yes, the early church, Acts 2.41. Let's see what it says here. Acts 2.41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now let's see what happened. Verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Hey, wonderful, isn't it? They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayer, and all that believe were together and have all things common. Now, this church here, do you believe in having things common? Do you believe that we should be in one accord? And I know some of you don't feel that you need to. You know what? God will expose the secret sins. Things that lie in the center of your heart. Don't think that God will not expose it. God will bring to light the thing that you said among one another. Sure. When you have a problem you don't like about me, you will talk to some brother and sister. That is okay. But be sure that you, when you say something, you speak the truth in love, that it is true. Or do you tell somebody, I think we go to another church. You see here, there's no bondage in this fellowship. Now I believe this. My response when you teach the word, you don't know how much I love you, how much I care for your soul. And you think that because I'm being harsh, some of you think that you will have to send somebody else to another church. But you witness to somebody about the truth that you have. And they say, where do you go to? Oh, I go to AA, down there where we fellowship. But I think that you've got to go down to the other church. And something is wrong with you having the Holy Ghost. That means you don't stand for the truth, because we're going to analyze a little bit what the Holy Ghost means to you and me. You see the how common that they have? If they have the Holy Ghost, hey, this guy, my brother and sister, we all are together in this, we stand together. That's what it means right here. They were together. And they had all things common. And they continued daily with one accord. Not in schism, huh? Not like those in Corinthians that Paul had a problem with. Where he sent them a first epistle with such harsh word. He rebuked them in the first epistle. Then the second epistle he says, my, I know I hurt you with my epistle. I hurt you with my letter. It pains you, yes. And it pains me, Paul said. You think Paul wanted to hurt someone? And we know the Bible said the truth shall set you free. The truth hurts. That's what it is. But the Holy Ghost that we have will help us to overcome this pain. To know that we have been corrected. And that's true, isn't it? At least, you know, I'm glad for Brother Lawrence and Sister Wendy, you know, troubling him there and making mistakes and all that. And they are sincere enough to say, make mistakes and come back for fellowship. You know, that's what God wanted to do. Want to restore you back to the joy of His salvation, where there is food, where there is fellowship, true fellowship, where there is real worship. That's what it is. This is, hey, like the song said, this is a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fighting, not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. You know that song? We are here in a battle. And this is a battlefield. Not a recreation room where you play billet. This is a fighting and not a game. So if you want to run, if you want to run, run if you want to, run if you will. But for me, I came here to stay. A soldier of God never give up. You know what I mean? Never say quit. There was a time when I saw Francis there, I said, God, I want to quit. And yet inside the heart, God knows me. You know you can't. And you know that you won't quit. Because there's something in my soul. There's something right inside. And I can't. And I pray to you the same thing, because it's the word of life. You know, when you talk about members of God's family, the universal church. A brother wrote me from Philippines just 2 days ago. He says, Brother God, what is the church of God? What does he mean by the church of God? We have the universal church, but we have also a local church, sovereignty church. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 10 now. Evident the Holy Ghost that moves you along to what you should know, what truth is. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 to 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You see what I mean? That's where the church is. Now, you cannot say the universal church, huh? Everybody gather in one place? How? How? All in the whole island of Singapore, you will not be able to fit in. What about the Pacific Ocean? We all float up there in the platform. So this is not talk about a universal church. We talk about a local church. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, by exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Achaia is where Greece really is, a southern part of it. And Corinth is a city. Throughout Achaia, they are believers, they are saints. But Paul says to the church of Corinth, and together with all the saints throughout Achaia. So there is a local church there in Corinth. And there are other saints around Achaia. Suddenly they all travel hundreds of miles just to go there in Corinth just to meet on the Lord's Day. 1 Timothy 3:5. Now you know this is the election of a bishop, the choosing of a bishop. And see what he says here. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Let's consider a bishop. Now, how does he take care of the church? He takes care of the church around the whole world. He's a bishop for the millions of people around the world. Of course not. It's all of the church. James chapter 5 verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So the elders of the church, you don't say, oh, brother so and so, you live out there in Mongolia, please come to Singapore and lay a hand on me with the anointing of oil. Of course, he's not the elder all the way there. Is he? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. This is the universal church now. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, the whole world. Church universal, all of this belonged to Him. And He gave Himself for it. Am I right? You know, brothers and sisters, not all teachings need a revelation. I shared with you last Friday, or the Friday before. Not all teachings need a revelation. There is only one revelation, as I said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That first of all is the seed that you must have. The beginning. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked the question. And if you can get that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you got it? Then that's the beginning of it. What do you do? What happened to the 3,000 they were convicted on the day of Pentecost? Out of, I don't know how many thousands out there. Those who were convicted, I said, gentlemen, the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And what did they do? Do you think the 3,000, maybe 1,000 of them says, I think we got to pray until we get the revelation about repentance. Do you think they do that? Do you think, like some people do today, I must wait for revelation first before I get baptized? What? Is it not so simple? You want to be saved? Repent. And be baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. That no need no revelation. Is that alright? Sure. Sure. Do not forsake the example of yourself together. Do you need a revelation? I come as I like. I come when I like. I don't feel like coming. I don't come. And that's some of the attitude. And that's bad. Not forsaking the example yourself as often as you could. Remember, I said this many times. The day is the Spirit working. And it's trying to tell you apart. If the Lord doesn't come, and now 20 years down the road, your faith will be more trialed. Yes. Just watch it. And don't think that you just relax because you are a child of God. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Working out here means to remember to conform to the Word. Not struggling. Just conform. You see? Because the Holy Spirit gives you the rest. And that rest to be at peace, where you just move along with Him in joy. But yet there seems to be a lot of struggle. And a whole lot of ill. Yes, there's a whole lot of struggle. Just as the character that came Friday to the fellowship, the couple. We all had a laugh after that. The man was a high and mighty because he was a very important person in the government office before. You know, he tried to encourage us, but he doesn't know his place. So he tried to encourage us, well, and he presumed something. So we were sitting out there wondering, you know, if we let him talk. Too much presumption. And you know what I asked him? Where do you fellowship? I don't go for fellowship, I stay at home. You stayed at home? Wow. You have the Holy Spirit that sings, huh? The Holy Spirit make you stay at home? You don't have to identify to any church? You know, this man is an authority to himself. He has no response. He don't give an answer to nobody. He don't have to identify with any church. He do whatever he want. On Sunday, go wherever he want and try to tell people about the Lord. How that you must overcome. How that you should believe. And all this is easy to talk. Live the law of the Word of God. And know what God is doing. And you see whether you be on trial. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. To burn you up. John said he will not only baptize you with the Holy Spirit, but he will baptize you also with the fire. You know that? You know, denominations are wondering what's going on up there, what's coming. And they continue with their thing. The Brahma are just going about preaching the message of the prophet, quote this and quote that. You know what the elect supposed to do? What are you doing? What am I doing? As for me, I'm grounding myself in the Word. I'm securing myself in the Word. I make myself that I'm sure that I stay in this Word. What is meant by, like Brahma says, what is meant by when they say stay with the message and study the message? Okay, let's go. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message. What message, huh? Which you have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So what is the message? Stay with the message. What is the message? God is light. It's revelation. It's truth. In Him is no darkness, no tradition, no many ideas. But what do we have today? Huh? Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy now. Chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 and 16. Now the Bible says very clearly here, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shined, profane, and vain babblings. For there will increase unto more ungodliness. That's true. Quote. Brother said this. Brother said, I know what happened. Until they fight one another. Oh my. Yes. In Nigeria, that's what happened. In the 80s, the church, when the pastor was just looking for overseas supports and everything else, and there was this group, later on they realized how they were deceived, they moved out. Oh my! They were throwing stones at one another. Literally. Quotation is a curse. If there's no revelation to take you into the Word of God, it's no different from creeds. That's a curse. I believe in the Bible is the authority of the Word of God. I believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. What revelation is that? All you can say, you can just quote, right? But what is the revelation? Verse 6, 17. And your word will eat as do a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Who, concerning the truth, had erred. saying that the resurrection is past already. See? Quote, 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 quote. Talk nonsense. Then chatter, chatter, chatter. Profanity, profane talk, spread like cancer upon the people. Criticism. Didn't Paul criticize? Didn't Jesus criticize the Pharisees too? You know what that is all about? People use the word criticize. It's actually speaking the truth in love. When you speak the truth in love, there is no criticism. Telling you the truth. When Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Peter turned around and says, why do you criticize them? Lord Jesus, why do you criticize them? They're good people, you know. That's what people will do today, huh? When I tell the people, beware of what's going on in Singapore, some of the churches, and what's over up there, then I know. Over again, you speak evil of them. You know what, if I don't, you know what will happen? You will not make a stand for what truth is. And that's what's very hard. And God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. And I believe that is true. It cannot be a wishy-washy. We speak the truth in love, we judge righteous judgment. You know what? For the Holy Ghost to be effective, for the Holy Ghost baptism to be effective in your life, only the true seek can have it. Only the true believers can have it. Not the make-believers. Of course, don't worry about unbelievers. It's the make-believers that are the dangerous ones. They are always sitting on the fence. They don't even know which side they are on. Which side are you on? That's it. Because if you know what to believe and can receive the word of truth, then that's when you begin to really know what is it all about. You know, separation from unbelief is very difficult. Look at Brother Nice. Wow, he was to be a bishop. Before he was ordained, he was acting the pose of a bishop. There's a lot of money in this. But you know what? He just kept preaching the truth. And then he laughed. And they wanted to kill him. There's a price to pay, brother, for truth you stand on. There's a price to pay. Don't think that it won't happen. You think that only happened in the dark ages, huh? It happened today. And it will be when time comes. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. They put the real life, the life of God, the true spiritual life on you and me. And He will take us to fruition, to be one with the Father and one with our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23-24:25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God which lived and abide forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of God is as the flower of grass. The grass withered and the flower faded away. But the word of God endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God that is incorruptible. Everything else is corruptible. Signs of wonder only draws people to the attention of Almighty God. So they can hear the word. So that God can fulfill His promises. You know, He doesn't put emphasis on signs and wonders and miracles. That's not the emphasis. It is His word. Your faith and my faith is not based on the signs. What draw people to the message is because of the signs and wonder that God allowed it in the ministry of Brother Branham. But many people are still taking that as their faith. But again, Brother Branham was vindicated. What vindication do you have? And I asked them, what vindication are you talking about? Signs and wonder? A halo above my head? A picture be taken? A pillar of fire? Is that the big anything you want to? That's what they wanted. And you read the testimony of some of brother and sister, we have seen it. But that it doesn't matter what they eat, they do. My vindication is the word of God. It's God the vindicator of the word. It's not signs and wonder. The same thing I could ask of all these ministers. What vindicated to be a preacher? You know why they asked me that? Because I dare to stick the word, I dare to take this word, and I can, God can give me the revelation and show it and expound it. They can't. And they think that I'm contradicting the prophet. And that's what makes them furious. That's what makes the Pharisees furious against John the Baptist and against Jesus Christ. Because they proclaim the truth. And the Pharisees, I said, you hated that. Because you know what? The enemy hated it. Today I have a lot of enemies out there. A lot of enemies out there. And the whole world is watching. You know what? I get an email once in a while. Maybe once, twice a week. Maybe once in a week or two. People come and say, Brigham, oh no. You know, I've been searching for three, and this is the website I've seen. I have seen people fight against you, but you took a stand. I'm with you. And these are people, they are not big ministers. Huh? You think they would accept what simple truth that there is in the scripture? No! Because you see, I was with Brother Branham! That's not the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I was with him. I went hunting with him. I slept with him. This ate with him. That is not the evidence of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? That's a great influence upon people. Huh? So the faith of your faith and my faith is not based on signs and wonders. Do you understand that? But by His Word. Not something that is physically seen, but something that is spiritually revealed to you and experienced. Next quote. See, if you still have the love of the world, want to act like the world and do all like the world, you are trying, you are yet in the church, but a cockerel in a patch with the wheat. Shout with the rest of them. Rejoice with the rest of them. And all the spiritual blessing is upon you. You say, well, I prophesy. So did Caiaphas. So did Balaam. That has nothing. I got a baptism of the Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it. That's just only a temporal gift for you. The real gift is that your soul down in there, see, that was born of God, and that controls the whole thing to the Word of God and the will of God. And there you grow up. You understand that, brother and sister? You see that? That's the soul that down there that was born of God that controls the whole thing to the Word of God, to the will of God. And there you go by it. You know, some of these things are in the... You know, I don't have to take all this code to show you anyway. I don't read many of these books. I read only the essential book that I have read. But if my spirit is right, just our brother nice testimony in the vision. Brother Abraham drank from the same water. That's my source. And in the book, in the testimony of Brother Orsell, he said that he saw me and how I went up to him, hold him on the shoulder and stick him onto the rock and say, you stay on this. That's true. God from the very beginning, when he called me out from denomination, he already told me, he tried me one time and I was almost deceived by Branhamism. And that I knew I was wrong, but I knew I shouldn't be doing what they were doing. You know, my spirit was taken up. And God took me, and He just gave me a trial. You know, I was so foolish, uttered the same word that a Branhamite would do. And I just shut down. And my heart, I was bleeding, man. I was bleeding deep and sorrowful. And God started speaking to me. Are you going to take just the mere words of my prophets? What are you going to take my word? And I cry like a baby. For days. It was deep. It was very hurtful. Not only just me, because I hurt my Lord. And I said, Lord, your book, your word is the only one for me. And from that time on, that's why the Bible is my companion. That's my foundation. You show me any preachers in the world that can take the Bible as a companion and just preach from it. And go right into it and dare to say what God has revealed to them and not just be speaking only within the fence of what Brother Abraham said so that they will not become an anti-Branham like I was. I have yet seen few of that. And those few that I have seen are outcast. John 6:37. All that the Father gave me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's what the word was given to you to grow thereby to bring you in. You know, God used tongues as a sign to draw the people. He used other gifts too. But He's not there to appease your physical senses. Gifts and signs and wonders are part and parcels of God's working to point the elect to the perfect. And as 1 Corinthians 13:10, where Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Let us look at the next quote. On the inside of that man is a man called Spirit. And he has five senses. Think, thought, and love, and conscience, and so forth. Alright, now you can't think with your body, you think with your mind. And in that is where too many Christians only stop. And they can't, just like the corn in the field, and the wheat in the field. They can be anointed with the whole same Holy Spirit that the real believers are anointed with, but down on the inside of that next realm, the third realm is the soul. And that's predestined by God. That's where the real seed, that's where the real seed germ lays. It's in there. And remember, if I take a cockleburn and cut it open, grab it into the heart of it, a wheat, and put it there, bury it, it will bring forth a wheat out of the cockleburn. No matter what the outside is, what the emotion. That's true, isn't it? You take a fetus in vitro, take the egg of an Indian man and an Indian wife, put it in the womb of a Chinese woman. When a child is born, what color is it? You think it's white or yellow? It's black. It's an Indian child. And it always will be. Psalms 119:11. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. You see, it's all boiled down to the word. You know, the third pool that Brother Brian mentioned? It's only one thing that the devil cannot impersonate. He cannot bring the true revelation of the word, nor cause God's elect to live the life of the Spirit of the Word. He cannot bring the glory of the Word. He cannot bring the truth of the Word. That's true. He cannot bring you, the souls of God as you have, to feed upon the Word of God. He can't. You see, the elect cannot but feed on the Word of God. Matthew 24:28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there would the eagles be gathered together. And remember, the branches cannot but draw the sap from the vine and produce fruit. Isn't it? You see, in mango tree, the leaf, the branches can only do one thing. It's always pulling up the sap from the vine, from the trunk, from down the root. Keep on pulling. It's his job to do it. And then produce the fruit. So if we are the branches and he is the vine, it's the same thing we do. That shows the evidence of the Holy Spirit that you have, the word that is alive in you. John 15:5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Romans 10:9. I like this one. Romans 10:9, 10, 11. Romans 10:9 said that if you shall confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, not Brother Branham. Do you believe in an end time message? Oh yes, I believe Branham was the prophet of God. And that's not a confession. Come away, you folks out there. Are you a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. I'm a Bible believer. No. What I mean is, are you a believer in an end time message? Oh yes. I'm a believer of Malachi 4:5-6. That's not a confession. But people are confessing that today as if that is their token for the rapture. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus and thou shalt believe in thy heart the Lord, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. People make it that way. If you confess Bob Branham was a prophet of God, you shall be in the rapture. Brother and sister, be careful. There's a spirit that is working. And just as Sister Wendy testified, I like that. You see, you have a quote like them and say some famous quote, favorite quote, so you'll be identified. And that's what they were doing. Yes, brother, yes, sister. You know, the prophet said this. You know, I've been in some convention, all that I heard when you see believers gather together. Yes, the prophet said this. Oh, I remember the prophet said this too. You hear all about the prophet, the prophet, the prophet. You know what? The veil is still upon your heart. For with the heart men believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You understand? For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed to confess your faith, brother and sister? Are you ashamed to confess your stain? Then if so, Christ will be ashamed of you. For he said it in Matthew, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever is ashamed, so I will be ashamed. Revelation 3:5 says that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in fine raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now before someone is born again, he has to die first, isn't it? When you are fully surrendered to the Lord, you die. Romans 6:7. He that is dead is free from sin. Romans 8:10. And if Christ being in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is alive because of righteousness. I want to finish off this today. In just a few more. So I'll take the next half an hour and continue on it. I don't want to continue it for next week. I want to finish it out. Because I'm almost right to the end. There's no seed, there's no water. If the seed is not planted, if the water is not poured on it, there's no light, there's no growth, obviously. Love is the first thing that a child of God would experience when he received the life of the Spirit of God. Do you know that? I believe the day when you repent and you feel something, you feel the love of God. I mean, if you truly repent, not that you still... I'm not sure whether I'm a child or not. But if you really repent and you die to self, there's full surrender. You know, you feel it. Because the Spirit will be there just come and witness to your spirit. Huh? I remember the day I act so strange when I gave my heart to God. I acted so strange. Things that I never did before. I was just so full of God's love that I do things that, you know, I never do before. So love is the first thing that a true child of God will experience when he received the life of the Spirit of God. A born of spirit links the two like mother and child. Without love, there's only failure. There is nothing that you have, nothing that we have. Because the 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. So what is true love now? What is true love? You see, the love among the end time message believers has created too many divisions. Even among the people. Huh? They love their own. They speak falsely about others, not in circle of their faith and revelation. You want to speak the truth in love, not falsely. You know, I hurt. You know, brother, sister, I hurt. You know what I hurt? I hurt the brother Gann. Call himself the eighth messenger. That's what I heard. And they passed this around. That's a lie. A damnable lie. Let us look into it now. In conclusion, remember God is love and His Word are one. God is love. God is the Word. And the Word of God is God Himself manifesting. If you want to look at the evidence now, the evidence of having the Holy Ghost or having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember one thing, we're not looking at just an initial evidence or the evidence like what we have today. It's believe the word, believe the message. It's not that. We'll see what the scriptures say now. First of all, you need to understand that faith or revelation come by hearing the word concerning Jesus Christ. Is that right? Say amen if that is the truth. Huh? You can never come to Christ without hearing the word, without gospel. Then you believe the word. Then you receive the word. Then you receive the word, you repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And when you do, the Holy Spirit will come, definitely. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, something will happen. If this fallen thing don't manifest itself, then you need to pray about it. What do you have? You have the witness of the Spirit in the Spirit. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bear a witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. There's no lie about it. It's not saying, oh, I believe. You know, we talk about receiving the word. Samaria received the word. But yet they have not had the Holy Spirit yet. Because God is doing something. You know why? The Jew, they look for a sign. Isn't that right? As I said, in our first few lessons on it, how are they to know that they have the Holy Spirit? They must have a sign. And so, tongues were given. They have cloven fire upon their head. Is that right? Is that not right? The Bible said they have cloven fire upon their head and they spoke in other tongues. Here, John down to Colinius now. They got the Holy Ghost. Was there fire upon their head? No. Minus that. Is that right? Correct. So, in time of charisma and Pentecost, if tongue is the evidence, then what about the cloven? But yet, Peter said, they receive what we receive. But there was no cloven tongue, I mean, a fire. But they received what we received. Number three, the Samaritans, they received the word. But they didn't receive yet the Holy Ghost baptism. And they're right. So what happened? They went up there and prayed for them. And the Bible said they received the Holy Ghost. The Bible didn't tell you about the tongue of fire. It didn't tell you about speaking in tongue. The Bible is putting a way to something now to let you know. It's not the fire. It's not the tongue. It's not the tongue. But now there is nothing mentioned about the tongue. You understand now? Alright. So, there got to be a witness. The Bible is clear that the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, my spirit, that we are His children. Amen. Then you have a love awareness. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew Him not. See that? There is a love. There is something that, you know, you don't have it before. The next thing you have the power to be a witness. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Remember, witnesses, figuratively speaking, is a martyr. Remember, I'm asking you, brother and sister, today. Yeah, I'm serious. If you have the Holy Ghost, and if you have the power, you have to be a witness. Have you told your friends about Jesus? Have you, do your life, in your place of work, wherever you are, ever just talk to someone about Jesus? You know, Brother Sung, when he received the word, he got a Holy Ghost baptism, he was just telling people about the Lord. You know that? But that's only one side of the story. You know what a witness is? It's your martyr. That is, now that you have the truth, will you declare the truth? Would you declare the truth? That you believe what is truth? That there is a ministry, that there is the ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and we are in this ministry. Paul talked about, I having this ministry, the apostle having this ministry. And we will not fail to declare to you all the whole counsel of God. Huh? Isn't it? Paul says, I want to make known everything to you. Speaking the truth in love. Will you be able to take a stand? Well, some of you may be still wishy-washy. My heart goes out to you. This is not a game. Not a recreation. It's a battlefield. It's a battle that we are fighting. And Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual to the tearing down of strongholds. Is that right? It means martyr means that people will kill you. People will say all kinds of things. Oh, so you are with gun. You know, there are those ministers that I know, those who know the truth. They say, yes, we associate with gun. We associate with him. Because that's the truth. The word is truth. What we declare is truth because we know that it is truth. The Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that it is truth. And we will die for it. You can mutter as we want to, but we witness. That's the truth. And do not just proclaim Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Brother Bram said this, but that's not it. That's what Brother Bram said. It comes down to one point. How many will make the rapture? 1% or 1% believe him. That's going to be true. Few will end. Few, there will be the entering. Many are called into this message. Few enter in. 6 million people in this entire message, I was told. Or 60 million, I forgot. It was 6 or 60 million. Just imagine how many is going to make it in. Taking side with Jesus and His Word. That's what you're supposed to do. Not be man of recognition. Confession is all important. Romans 10, 10 to 11. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Recognizing, next thing, recognizing the move of God as the Holy Spirit guides into all truth. Do you recognize the move of God? He's supposed to lead you into all truth and show you things to come. That's what he says, isn't it? What the Holy Ghost is given for? Speaking things, and say, I believe Malachi 4, 5, and say, that's my confession. We thank God for sending a prophet, but that is not the message. The message is, back to the Word. Is that right? Stay with the Word! Recognizing the move of God as the Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. John 16, 13. How be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, or whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. Be guided by the Holy Spirit into all truth. Next, again we continue. It says, the point here I make is a true understanding of the Word. By writing, dividing the Word, not presuming the Word. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself. Means, be diligent to present yourself. A proof unto God. A workman that did not be ashamed. Writing, dividing the Word of God. I present myself diligently before God. By rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that right? By studying the word of God. Then, a teachable spirit, able to receive correction, not one that cannot be taught. 11, a repentant spirit towards sin, quick to repent, plus fruits of the Spirit. You know, when Jesus Christ was anointed, he got all that wisdom and virtue and godliness, and so do we ought to have, isn't it? Because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When He comes into us, He brings that fruit along. Is that right? Huh? But the fruit by itself doesn't mean that you have the Holy Ghost. You understand that? By saying that I receive the Word doesn't mean that you have the Holy Ghost. Or speaking tongue, that means that you have the Holy Ghost. Those are part and parcel of the whole thing, which involves, first of all, receiving of the gospel of Jesus Christ, having that revelation as to who Jesus Christ was. That's the beginning. Alright? So, sincerity, integrity, honesty, uprightness, faithfulness to God and to the church. You know, that's what a lot of people don't think so. I can go any church I want to, I want to go there, I want to. No, brother and sister, there is a sovereign church. And the local church is always sovereign. And that's how God operates. Because He wants you to make a stand. That's why God told me, I raise you up to bring a standard in this part of the world. I says, Lord, you can give me but 10. The standard with me in the same thing. I'll do your work. That's what all it takes to do. You understand? Speaking the truth in love, judge righteous judgment. John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So don't think that somebody is sweet, kind and everything who doesn't want to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? In case it hurts you. He's not a buddy. He's not a good one. Somebody who's really your friend will tell you, say, brother, this is wrong. And he'll tell you. And the truth will set you free. Ephesians 4:15, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 2 John 1:1, the elders unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, and not I only, but also all that have known the truth. Ephesians 4:24-25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Who is the neighbor? Not your next door neighbor as to physical neighbor. Huh? Who is your neighbor? The one sitting beside you right now. That's your neighbor. Your brother and sister, one in front of you, the one behind you. That's your neighbor. Speaking the truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, with his brother and sister. For we are members of one another. Do you understand that? Are the people in the end time message movement the truth? Or are they falling away from the faith? In closing this couple of verses, Hebrews chapter 6 now. Verse 4 to 8. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good work of Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, if they should fall away, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God of flesh and put Him to an open shame, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh of upon it, and bringeth forth herb, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which bear thorns and brails is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So don't think, brother and sister, all those who say, oh, I believe the end time message are believers. The message was to bring you back totally to God and His Word. Back to God and His Word! Not to a man called William Branham. He is but a prophet of God. No different from Moses. No different from Paul. They are all servants of God. Do you see that? Luke 3:16-17. Last two verses. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And you know what? Whose fan is in his hand? And he's going to purge the floor. What do you think he's doing? You say you got the Holy Ghost? Good enough. Now be baptized with fire. He's going to purge you with this word. He's going to purge you with this word. He's going to take all that growth, all that sin out of you. He's going to take you all the errors out of you, all your thinking that is wrong out of you. He's going to purge. So he takes only the wheat in. And the chaff is going to blow it away and throw into the fire. Are you a chaff or are you a wheat? So now if you said you have the Holy Ghost, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, remember this. When you witness the truth and stand for it, you'll be a martyr. That's what a witness means figuratively. And if you have the Holy Ghost, remember this, you are a member of the universal body of Christ, but you also are the example together with a local body of believers. And there, even as Prophet Abraham said this, you support the cause. You be a pillar in the church and you support the cause. You don't move from pillar to post. And we witness the truth, you confess the truth, and you take a person into this fellowship. If not, they say somebody else in another fellowship, something is wrong with your idea, something is wrong with your thinking, you're not in one accord with the Word to begin with. You understand this? I have seen too many. Those who call themselves even preachers. They'll bring books and give to some books they're not edifying. Books that are in fact particularly against the truth. Books that are against me, particularly. A Dalton Bruce book. Somebody are sending all from another country. Some people are circulating around and then give it to you. Well, you can, they'll give it to you, but don't pass it around. If you do, remember one thing. You're undermining. You may not realize that you might cause the fall. Because if you do that, to pass it around, it shows that you believe Dalton Bruce was right, and is right, and I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, then you will not be here. And why are you here? That's the question. That's why I'm teaching you all this, to let you know. You make a stand, brother and sister. When you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in you. The evidence will show. Being drawn by God to the Word of God, you leap from glory to glory and you move. You stand for truth all the way. Let anybody crucify you as he will. That's why all the apostles died. Many of them martyred. Peter turned upside down. Given 39 stripes. Some of them were limbs cut off, tortured, pulled apart. And that's the price you have to pay when you stand for the truth. Yet in the modern society of ours, finding it hard to even stand for the truth. And many in the world are the same. But we thank God, and I thank God, that there are many out there in the world. They are taking a stand for this word. They know they have been deceived by some spirits. Now they are coming back. And that's the only foundation that we have. Amen? God bless all of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. It's been a long 2-hour session. Just want to finish that up, Father. To lay it down, it hard and solid, Father, that the people will understand. That truly, Lord, your word called for total separation from unbelief. There is no wishy-washy in what you say. And what you have written down for us so far through the apostles and the prophets. And for the admonition, take heed to the word that you have given them to put it down in this sacred word or this Holy Bible that we have in our hand. And I pray, Father, Lord, that what we have heard as the Spirit stirred it up in our heart, bring these things to our remembrance, Lord, not only those who are here, but all those that were here on the audio or watched the video. That they come to that place of revelation to know, Father, that your purpose in giving us your only begotten Son was that you fulfill your promised word. Because thou art the word made manifest in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And it is your word, Father, that is life. And you have given that life in Jesus Christ to us. And therefore, Lord, when you lay down that word and buried it, it spring forth, bring forth much fruit to you. And certainly, Father, as the fruit that was pure and holy that was laid down, that seed that was buried, the same that came forth, Father, will likewise be the same. Pure word and holy. And we therefore are that fruit, Father, that spring forth of that seed that was buried and hung upon that cross, in which your life was given to us. Then, Father, Lord, how much more, Father, that we should confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. To confess of that word that you've given us, because that word is life. There's no other word of life. Thou art the word of life in Jesus Christ, Father. And we ask you, Father, to bring us to the place of revelation and says, Father, give me that strength. Having the Holy Spirit in me, Father, give me that strength to stand upon the word. For this was the very purpose, Father, when the whole denominational world, when the whole church world was in a mass. And through all generation of time, through all the churches, you bring men of God to bring them back to you. And in the final hour, in the last church age, you send a man. And you scream out with all your might, come back! Back to the word! to the absolute through that prophet father. He screamed it out. And yet today, when his word was heard, when his word was even uttered, quote upon quote, statement upon statement at the pulpit, the veil is still upon their heart. Just like as it was in the days of the apostles. As Paul said, when the book of Moses was read, the word, the veil was over their heart. They can't see it. Father, I ask for your grace now to touch everyone, Father. Commit us, Father, of anything that is wrong and bring us, set us right to come back to thy word and really, Father, live that life for you. Asking this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.